with the Police Officers Association of Michigan, broadcast live from Washington, D.C. for Police Week 2010.
All right, we're still at the tune-in this afternoon in beautiful Washington, D.C. We are at the Police Officers Memorial. It's Police Week here, and with us is retired Farmington Hills, Michigan police officer Wayne Bierbauer. Wayne, thanks for making the pilgrimage and coming down and hanging out with everybody this week.
My pleasure, and thanks for doing this. We appreciate it.
So, Wayne, you were a part-time business agent at one time working with Palm. You were a full-time police officer. Give us a little history about your involvement with POAM.
Well, I started running my local in about 1990, and Jerry Radovic, who is a full-time business agent at the time, a former Dearborn police officer, was my business agent at Farmington Hills, and we did a couple contracts together. He felt like I was of the mindset and had the abilities to be a good negotiator. Jerry and I worked well together. So in 1993, he nominated me for the executive board of the POAM. I was elected, and I served from that time on with the POAM. And I was still a full-time police officer, but part-time I started doing immediately units for the POAM. I'd work my normal shift, then I would go out and negotiate contracts during the day.
All right, so working on contracts, and so I guess kind of give us the life or the day in the life of a business agent now.
We're full service Police Officers Association, which means I do negotiations, which is pretty much the standard for what I do. That'll be the majority of my job. However, I also do arbitrations for grievances, for discipline hearings, represent guys when they need advice, help, if they get in trouble or if something happens that there could be discipline coming down the pipe. I represent them for grievances when our contracts are violated and we perhaps have to go to arbitration. I also do mediation, which is the next step after negotiations when the negotiations don't work. And also just, you know, anything that a group may need, I offer my groups the option to have me come in, sit down with their executive boards and teach them how to represent their guys, give them a little background before we go in on how to negotiate contracts, what issues we can prevail in, what issues we need to be a little stronger on, and just the basic state of the art of negotiations in Michigan, what things are being given, or and unfortunately in Michigan right now, it's what things that we have to concede and give back.
Yeah, I understand that. And, you know, speaking of issues, there's a number of issues that are probably historical. But let's talk about some of the historical issues and some of the ones that we've been facing, you know, in our tough state for the past couple of years now.
Well, traditionally, your police officers have not been your highest paid employees out there compared to the private sector. And actually, sometimes compared to the private sector. And sometimes not even that high in the public sector. In Michigan, in the 60s, we got Act 312 arbitration through the Michigan legislature, which gave us the ability to go to an impartial third person, known as an arbitrator, who would then rule on our issues. So even with that, we haven't done, you know, tremendous in terms of wages. I can tell you through my career, I never received more than a 3-4% raise at any given period.
And that's in how many years?
Since 1980.
How many years were you in the force?
I was on the force, total 27. I was a year before I started in Farmington Hills in the city of Inkster, which is where I grew up.
27 years and all you did was 4% in increases, huh?
Per year. And again, towards the end, it was less than that. It was maybe 2.5%.
Yeah.
But what we kind of traded off for it, and Act 312 helped us get that, was that we were able to negotiate better working conditions. We were able to negotiate better benefits, i.e. medical.
When you talk about working conditions, elaborate on that a little bit more.
Well, you know, in the old days, when I started in Inkster in 1979, I got in the car, I had a shotgun, my briefcase, and a two-channel radio. And that was it. By the time I left, literally, I had an airline cockpit, if you will.
Right.
I had a radar, I had a computer, we had the LoJack system in some of our cars, we had radio scanners, and my the radio I used as a police officer actually could scan about 7 or 8 stations. So we also ended up my last few years with in-car cameras. So those type of things. Also, believe it or not, sometimes we actually would negotiate for air conditioning in the cars. When we started out, especially Detroit, probably into the 2000s, never had air conditioning in their cars.
Into the 2000s,
and if you could imagine those guys riding around in those things.
Yeah, they're not the most comfortable uniforms. They're not made to be made for comfort.
No, they're actually, towards the end, I would say after the... early to mid-90s, most officers were wearing vests, which I don't know if you've ever worn one, but I can guarantee
you... They don't breathe.
They not only don't breathe, but whatever the temperature is. It's great if it's freezing, because you can get out of your car with nothing but your shirt sleeves. However, if it's a 80-degree day, you're basically going to be sweating like crazy.
Yeah, things going to cook.
Yeah, and we also were able to negotiate, you know, those vests into our contracts sometimes. We were able to work with our administration to get better... equipment as it improved. We transitioned in the early 90s from wheel guns, which were revolvers, to what we call combat weapons, which would be your semi-automatic pistols.
Right.
They were just more suited for the type of work that we did. Getting back to the general benefits in a contract, though, probably the biggest difference or the biggest thing that we got out of that Act 312 and then over the years was that we were able to secure decent pensions for our officers, because clearly I don't think anyone wants a police officer out there when he's 55, 60 years old pushing the Ford around and in shagging runs and trying to chase down these 20-year-old bad guys and that type of thing. So it is, I will say, a young person's job. However, you know, if you keep yourself in reasonable shape, you can do it for a while, but we want to get them out of there. I think even the public, if you ask them, they want to get them out of there when they're 55 or so. And we were able to negotiate decent pensions where we were able to get out at 50, 55 years of age. Some still 60, 62, and, you know, we have to do what we can do. But most police officers have the ability after about 25 or 30 years of service to be able to have a decent pension where they can get out. And then, as I did, I transitioned to a full-time business agent with the POAM, and that's my second career. Even though we have a better pension than we did before, I still could not support my family on what my pension is
right
now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But we were able to hold on to, through that time, medical for retirees in their retirement years.
Do we find a lot of that is starting to be more negotiated or used as bartering chips that are being removed?
Oh, absolutely. Unfortunately, the last few years, well, you know, literally in Michigan, we've been in a 10-year recession. Consequently, I have been watching the state of negotiations in Michigan get to the point where we initially were basically holding on to our benefits. We weren't making a lot of improvements. We were getting a small pay raise to maybe a good year was 3% in the 2000s. But we were able to hold on to our decent retirement benefits. However, you've hit it right on the head. Now we're at a position where basically these employers are in such financial straits because of the reduction in tax base for most of our groups, because we're municipal employees. That's the reality. And if the money isn't there, something's got to give. So yes, unfortunately, we're having to reduce our pensions. The big probably ticket for municipalities right now is the retirement medical for officers, and that's what's being attacked the most, and that's where we're having to give in to a certain degree.
It almost seems like it's a non-gratified, untangible item. The guys are gone. It's out of sight, out of mind. So why should we put such large chunks of money over towards this to take care of these guys? And you know, everybody seems to forget of everything that they've earned.
Well, and that's what it is. Again, part of the reason that we, as I said, part of the reason that I took, and I will tell you, in the 80s, I mean, you can remember there was double-digit inflation.
Yep.
The cost of living was huge. Well, I was locked into no more than 4%. Yet I know people in the private sector that had double-digit raises throughout the 80s. Now, I'm not saying that was everybody, but most people were getting decent raises, and a private company could do that. In the public sector, they have a hard time giving you big raises because of the tax base and the way they have to budget. So our return, and when we started negotiating contracts, the issue of health care was much, much cheaper. Our bosses back then, the people that we worked for, were more of a mind that they would give us medical benefits as opposed to a 3 or 4% raise. It was cheaper, much cheaper
absolutely.
For them. Now, not our fault, not necessarily their fault either. Over the years, that paradigm has really changed. Now the fact is medical has gone through the roof. It's going up every year double digits for most employers, and we're aware of that. But again, this was the trade-off, and I guess this is what we'd like the public to understand. This was the trade-off for those minimum, I still say, pay increases for the job we did. Now remember, I faced a gun or two. I've been in a few chases. I've had to wrestle with the bad guys. I've put myself at risk, and I've also dealt with runs that they don't have to. I've seen society at its worst. The trade-off was that I knew it. There was a light at the end of the tunnel. I would get, as I said, a decent pension, and health care was part of that. I wouldn't have to worry about that. So I could afford to at least leave this job when I was 50, 55 years old, whatever you could afford at that time. So it's still there. I understand, with the rising costs now, it's sometimes harder for people to understand that, this was part of our package and shouldn't be just categorically taken away. And we are very active in negotiating reductions in that for active employees, for new guys starting. Some new officers have no hope of any type of retirement medical. They will be given a certain amount of their pay, say, 7% a year, something like that, put into an account. Whatever that amount is, you could go buy your own insurance when you leave.
Yeah.
Now, that's a cost control measure for the employer. We understand it. They can better adjust for that in the future. However, what we've basically done is taken the risk off the employer. Now we've put it on the employee. He's going to have to go out, or she is going to have to go out and secure some type of post-retirement health care. Because again, we don't want these guys running around out there at 60 years old doing the job that really stresses a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the rub, unfortunately. And it's not something that we want to give up. We understand we have to pare back on it. But also, it is something that we traded off for many, many years in terms of pay raises and stuff so we could have that kind of security. And I think that's really the message we like coming out of this.
Good, good. So down here at the Police Week in Washington, D.C., and we're here at the Tune-In Bar over on 4th and...
Pennsylvania.
4th and Pennsylvania. That makes it simple enough. Well, Wayne, thank you for stopping by and making the pilgrimage down this year. I know it means a lot to you as a retired and in support of all the officers, and we'll be talking to a lot of them this week. So thank you very much for coming by and showing the support.
Well, you're very welcome, and we appreciate what you're doing. I will mention briefly, because one of the reasons I started coming here back in 1988, that is the Police Officers Memorial, is that in 87, my first training officer in Inkster was killed in a motel incident in Inkster at that time. It wasn't my employer at that time, but Dan was one of my best friends. And one of the worst days of my life, I will tell you. But that's when I started coming here, was to, in honor of his memory. And yes, the activities of Police Week, believe it or not, they bring a lot of comfort to the officers.
A lot of camaraderie.
Camaraderie, absolutely. And that's what it's about, because these things, it's hard enough to accept. I just lost my mom recently. It was hard enough to accept that, but she'd lived a full life.
Right.
But
when
they're
of a younger age.
My friend was not even 30 years old
and
had four children, four young daughters. It was devastating, and it's something you don't forget, you don't ever get over, and sometimes there's no good release for that.
No.
You get frustrated, you get angry at times, and sometimes you just shake your head and you go, why? But at the end of the day, when we can come here, talk with our fellow officers, commiserate about people they know. I'm sure you talked to Jim Tiganelli earlier, and one of his best buddies was a fallen officer also. We all have the same stories, and even if you didn't know someone personally, it's a risk we take every day for the active officers. So this is just another way for them to feel a little bit more rejuvenated, to be able to go back to the road with the sense that, yes, there is a commonality among police officers, and we're there for each other. And that's what comes out of Police Week, remembering our fallen brothers, sisters, and also going back into the field with a sense of purpose and just a sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you, Wayne. Grab yourself a beer and keep it nice and cool out there. It's starting to warm up, and we're going to have a great time. Thanks for coming down.